Driving down my Lewis Road across the 2 miles on Fort Thomas. Come to see her across my lips, take a left, go in the Otter Creek, and then Otter Drive. There's a house here that's put a new roof on it. Got a whole top of it covered, so.
Do a sign, okay?
We have to look at that.
He is, he'll be a few minutes late.
Okay, all right, well, we'll be done by the time he gets here. All right, we'll call to order the December meeting of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Second. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is approval of the minutes for our regular meeting on November 1st, 2011. So you might want to look at that.
Yep. There is one typo. I missed that meeting right there. So.
Yeah,
I was in attendance.
Oh, okay.
It's striking me out since I wasn't here.
And we have two sets of minutes. We have the joint work session with the town council, and then we had our regular meeting right afterwards.
Well, what does that mean, regular meeting?
Technically, I think we have to approve both of them.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So, I mean, let's go ahead and look at the joint session first. Just take a couple minutes and look through that. This is probably more controversial of the issues. Are not so much a set of minutes, but rather a transcription almost. So it's just fine.
It would be hard to argue comments that people made during the course of the meeting.
Yeah, let us see at the very end. It says that it stated this is a feedback session and no action will be taken. That should be taken rather than will be taken. And more meetings will be held. This is part of the educational process. I just want to make sure that that was in there. Are there any recommended changes to the minutes other than a few of the typos that were noted?
And Tim's absence.
And Tim's absence, yes. Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes from the joint work session from our November 1st meeting?
So
moved. Second. Okay. All in favor say aye.
I'm sorry, who made the motion? And second.
Okay. All right, next set of minutes are from our regular meeting on November 1st. We do have a couple members here. Are you here to talk about the alternative energy?
No.
Are you here to talk about alternative energy?
I'm here to listen to what you're going to be saying about it. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. For the folks that are here for alternative energy, if you want to address the commission at that time, we'll address that a little bit later. If not, feel free to address the commission. I'm here to.
I'm just a homeowner. And I'm here specifically for the zone.
Okay, all right. right, good. Yep. All right, nobody's here to address the commission in general thing. Next item is the old business, agenda item number A, which is alternative energy. On this one, I suggested the last that I would put together a review draft for possible ordinance language. I had received several emails, about three emails in the last month by people who wanted to come to the meeting tonight and express their interest. And so I thought rather than try to present a kind of a draft or talk about it as they, you know, hear what people have to say. I also talked to Mac and, see if you want to come address the meeting tonight, Mac Montgomery. And then also I did meet one of the owners of a solar energy company here in town and invited him to the meeting tonight also. I thought we'd have a good session here tonight, but you know, maybe we don't have a lot of people here. So I do not have a draft prepared because I thought that we would have more of a work session tonight regarding the alternative energy issues. Did you email me? Or?
Yes, my name is Timothy Upton, and I did send you an email.
Okay, would you like to come up here and just kind of express, because you had expressed in your email that you've had a kind of a positive experience. I believe you had a passive water system.
Yes, I have a passive water system. My name is Timothy Upton. I live at 653 Settlers Lane. I've had a passive water system put on over 2 years ago. Two solar panels, obviously facing south, coming into an 80-gallon water heater. What drove me into that is I'm familiar with solar energy, having installed a similar system on my home in Long Island back in 1977. The technology is out there, it's proven. I had a 15-year-old water heater now, and to change out my water heater was going to run me about $1,500 to $1,800. I looked at the angle on my roof and saw that I had a nice exposure to the south. I looked into three different vendors locally who do solar installations. They all came out, did a site assessment. They all made proposals to me. I went with one system. As I said, we installed it back in October of 2009. John, I'm not sure if that was the first one at the town.
That was the first one.
The system's been in. I basically shut off my heater around St. Patrick's Day. I turn it on around now when it gets to be in the 30s at night. With the tax incentives, that is still out there. 35% from the state of North Carolina and 30% from the federal. Progress Energy also has different programs involved, where they would throw up to $1,000 onto those if you use one of their preferred suppliers, which I didn't. And you can also sell your solar renewable energy credits. So basically, when you look at this bottom line, the system I have is rated at 3 tons of carbon per year. So there's 3 tons of carbon dioxide that is not being spit out by Progress Energy to provide my home with hot water as a result of that system. Those solar renewable energy credits are tradable. Different companies have to buy those credits to offset their excess carbon footprints. A system like mine rated at 3 credits is worth right now about $1,800.
Is that per year, or can you sell
that? That's over a 10-year period. You get a payment up front for maintaining that system for a 10-year period. Bottom line, simple math, install cost of the system ran about $7,000, 65% federal tax credit, federal and state tax credit was about 65%. If I would have went with the Progress Energy, I would have had another $1,000 on top of that. I shut off my electricity into my water heater in March, turned back on in December. I'm saving about $40 a month on my Progress Energy bill. In the 2 years, the system's paid for. We're in an ideal location here for these installations. I know that North Carolina is now a right to solar state, where towns and communities cannot put up ordinances which would block people from access to solar. There are some restrictions in there as far as not facing a common area. But if, you know, if you look at the state law now, it's very supportive. There are some towns in North Carolina that have put in local ordinances. One of those, just give me a second. The town of Chapel Hill in 2003 adopted a land use management ordinance that included prohibitions against neighborhoods or homeowners associations, covenants, or other conditions of sale that restricts or prohibits the use, installation, or maintenance of solar collection devices. The ordinance was adopted prior to North Carolina's statewide solar access law. Chapel Hill's ordinance provides stronger protection for solar energy systems than the state law currently does. So I'm here to basically say the systems work. We're in an ideal location for it. There's a substantial cost savings to the consumers who install these devices. The technology is proven, and I would encourage the town to do what they can to promote their use within the town. If anyone has comments?
I actually had a couple questions. You know, you've got a passive water heating system. Did you think about maybe getting a kind of an active solar panel system for electrical generation at all? Is that one of the things that you thought about at all?
I looked at the time I did this, the research that I did was the immediate, most cost-effective, easy payback is on domestic hot water heating. The solar PV panels are much more expensive to install and to maintain. And with the, I'm not gonna say cheap, but with the current rate of electricity at about 11 cents a kilowatt hour in this part of the country, there's a longer payback period on those. Up north, it would be quite different as far as that goes. One of my colleagues is here tonight, William Tolley, who does install that PV system on his own house as well. And William can come up and speak to you about it.
I'm glad to have you come up in a second. Then just two other real quick questions. You know, again, the electrical panels tend to be, you know, flatter, be closer to the roof line. How high up is yours? Are you 4 or 5 feet higher than the roof?
Two inches off the roof.
Okay. Yeah, 2 inches off the roof, and it's about a 6-inch panel, I believe, in there, right?
Yeah, it's on a mount to take it just off of the shingle.
It's probably about like that.
Okay, because I've seen some, for the passive water heating system, some ordinances allow up to 5 feet off the roof.
Well, I have a good slope. I mean,
yeah, okay.
I have about a 30-degree slope, and what you want is to get the same latitude, which is about 32 here, I believe.
So what kind of space does, in your case, does this panel take up?
I have 2 4x8 panels on the roof. It's visible on Settlers Lane. Pipes come in through the attic.
And did you have any special restrictions as far as the wind rating and stuff, since we're in a beach area for those?
The engineer met with the town building inspector, John Batson, to go over that. John did ask for wind load calculations. We did have electrical, mechanical, and plumbing inspections done on it as well, and everything passed.
Is there any weight restrictions on this thing as far as your weight on your wrappers and stuff too? Just from my knowledge. Yeah.
There is, but what he had was sufficient for that.
Were the panels below the ridge line?
Yes.
The roof line.
Roof line. So you're all in favor?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know if there's anybody else thinking about doing this? I mean, we don't have a lot in Curie Beach. I think there's how many installed?
I think there's four altogether.
Four right now. Are they all passive water or do they have active electrical?
Liam, what's yours?
Active electric.
Okay.
So I know there's one other water heating one. Another one I'm not sure about.
Okay.
You know, I personally, I think the solar industry doesn't have sufficient marketing funds available to properly market these systems. I believe that people are they aware, if they are aware, of the paybacks on these systems, that more and more people would be investing in these systems. It's not in Progress Energy's best interest to promote something that's going to eventually put them out of business, okay?
What is the life expectancy of that system?
Guaranteed tank, 10 years life expectancy on the panel is about 20. Because of the cold climate we're in, the system runs it's a closed loop system, meaning I have a heat exchanger, and up on the roof is a circulating pump that's on the water tank. Circulate a food grade propylene glycol up to the roof. There's another system that's being offered by a different company down here that operates off of distilled water instead of propylene glycol. Distilled water is a more efficient heat transfer agent than propylene glycol. My system is designed to provide 80% of my needs. Distilled water can provide up to 100 here. But it is a bit more expensive, and you do require a slope because the system has to drain down at night into a second tank.
Any further questions? All right, well, thank you very much. That's very informative.
Thank you.
Yeah, feel free to come forward and talk about your system.
My name is William Talley. I'm 769 Sevens Lane. Tim pretty well explained a lot of it. My system is a sort of electrical house use. It's a PV solar panel system. It's 12 panels, roughly 3x5, I believe, on each panel. I've had it installed for about a month and probably generated 340 kilowatts of power so far. Right now, I'm estimating this taking care of about a third of my electrical needs for my household.
That's 12 panels, each one by how much?
Roughly three by five.
About 3x5, so 12 3x5 panels. It's getting about how much of your electrical needs?
Roughly a third.
About a third, and that's in a fall.
Yeah, right. I haven't had it for a year to be able to say what it's going to be. I imagine the summertime is going to be quite a bit, and when it gets real cold, it'll probably be, it won't be as much as far as amount I get out of it. But summertime, I'll probably get a lot more power from it because it'll be a lot more daylight, a lot higher rate of rise of the sun. So. If you have questions, I don't know what else.
We talked about the credits, the carbon footprint type credits there. For electrical systems, for photovoltaic systems, there's an obligation that they actually purchase any sort of excess, back. Have you reached a point where that has actually happened?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay.
I'm anticipating maybe late spring or sometime during the summer, probably do something like that, or when I'm not around.
But basically, it runs a meter backwards, if I understand. Okay.
Right.
So they're actually purchasing it back technically at the retail price because the meter's running backwards.
Right.
Okay. Kind of the same question as, does your system go above your ridge line right now?
No.
Okay.
It's about the same as STEM. It's probably got about a couple inches off the roof itself, and it's about 3 or 4 inches thick. So.
Okay.
So it's not really much.
So what motivated you to do that, given the, we talked about kind of the cost?
Well, I have
the characteristics there.
Before I moved here, I worked with the U.S. Forest Service, and we were out a lot of areas where there's no power, so I worked on panel systems before, so I was a little bit familiar with it. And then also with the carbon footprint, so I wanted to do something environmentally. So, and then also the cost savings of it. So those are the things. Like Tim mentioned, it's going to take quite a few more years for me to break even on it, though. But I'm probably going to be like more like 15 years or so.
15 years.
Do you mind sharing what your cost was for installing the system?
Total cost of it was right around $30,000. And with the federal and state rebates on it, it's going to be right at $10,000.
Nice. You get two-thirds of it back, right?
Any further questions?
That's correct.
The other thing is I'm also looking at, I've never really done a lot of research on it, but looking at wind energy also. They got some new devices out there, roughly 3 or 4 foot tall, and they're kind of like fans. So I may look into, purchasing one of those and installing that too. So still kind of iffy on it.
Where would you insert? If as a planning and zoning commission, what we're interested in this is, I think everybody encourages alternative energy approaches, but one of the things we want to make sure is that we maintain a degree of kind of aesthetics. And we can all go to the internet and find pictures of some rather unattractive approaches to some of these things, and some other very, very attractive ones. When you think about fans, you could have a 50-foot fan out there if you want, but you're thinking 4 feet. Where would you attach the 4-foot fan?
I'd probably install it in the back of the house where it wouldn't be visible to anything. I'm on 7th lane, so the back side of the house is up against the woods, so you don't see anything back there.
Okay.
What I'm looking at doesn't really require a lot of wind, but it's enough to still spin the turbine.
Well, what about noise? Well, one of the big complaints about wind turbines is the noise associated with it.
I'm not familiar with that, so again, I got to look into it a little bit.
And what about for wildlife that would be affected around it? Have you looked at anything on that?
Well, I know.
I don't know how fast they spin or anything, but I mean.
No, I haven't looked into that. The way this is set up is more. I'm not sure how I construct this. It's not the kind that you see spin around like this. It's more of a
can you rotate
rotates around
is it
this
the blade way. It's
only about that high, and it's about this wide, so it spins around that way.
Is this similar to the old wind turbines you see on your houses?
No.
This is
different. And it's got collectors inside that causes the air to increase once they hit it. So that's how it generates a lot more of the power to it. So again, I'm just kind of looking at it, and once I really decide to do something, I'll probably get a hold of John or somebody and see if that's acceptable for this area.
Further questions? The panels are on the southern exposure.
Right.
Okay. And there are no trees or anything like that?
I do have a tree in front of it, but even in the wintertime, it's by about 8:30, 9 o'clock, there's a tree, it's like there's a tree, so it's full.
Now, is it your tree, or is it your neighbor's tree?
It's my tree.
So if it gets if it rolls too high, I'll get rid of it.
I'm not sure how well I'm doing with carbon footprint to it.
Yeah, firewood is kind of...
Any further questions? All right, thank you very much. And so I saw your hand raised too. Do you have any?
Just a comment. Excuse me. I think there still is significant resistance to this because we're using plumbing and electrifying systems from post-World War II, and they are very solid and sound. You rarely have to repair. And so your average homeowner has a predilection toward the old stuff that's always worked. Secondly, do we have natural gas on this island?
I don't think it's
second point, unfortunately, the numbers are not as compelling if you measure them against on-demand water heaters, gas even more so, but even electric on-demand water heaters, we don't have the 40 or 80 gallons sitting there. And then thirdly, there still are significant improvements that can be made via simply tightening up your house and windows and those kinds of things that really make those numbers not quite as compelling as as they have been. Don't get me wrong, I'm a strong advocate. I believe these two guys are leading the, and I hope people pay attention. But if you want, you as a, so, and then you have the problem of repair of a complicated system. They may prove to be absolutely reliable. I don't know. But then you have the problem of repair on the roof or replacement of roof. Shingles do have to be replaced here on a pretty regular basis, and you've got to deal with the system for all of that. The net is, your average homeowner finds it hard to get excited unless they have either experiences or insights like this. Motivations, even with incentives and rebates, only help to some degree. The real answer, perhaps, from your point of view, might be to incent developers and builders. You can build a house that can be electrified or heated very easily from solar, wind, or other green means, much more so than you can convert an existing house. So think all the way back at the starting point. So if you build a new community like Beachwalk, and you can somehow motivate the developer to build houses that are almost ready to connect a green system to, you're going to find far greater number of those over time than if you push to convert existing homes, particularly rentals.
I don't think we're really trying to push anything. We're just trying to establish some guidelines in the event we have a way this thing's coming. I mean,
okay. I see your point.
You know, we're just trying to establish rules.
That's right.
You know,
I think you did make the point that you have the opportunity here to do more than just comply or facilitate. You have the opportunity, to the degree that you have influence, to enable and maybe have a faster, larger wave than would come just on the efforts of individual homeowners.
Do you have any ideas about how a city could, I mean, you talk about incentives, financial incentives, I mean, credits for obviously, well, we couldn't do that. Any idea on how a town such as Curie Beach could incentivize moving towards these type of things, whether they're the systems that have been installed or to encourage new building? For example, I added an addition that's a sunroom, and I will guarantee you that my electrical requirements in that sunroom are anywhere near the rest of my house because I've got a lot of windows, and I mean, literally, it's a 20 degree difference. You know, as we have these cold days. I mean, it's remarkable.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that was my own decision. You know, there was nothing to encourage me to do that from the city's point of view. Do you have any ideas on how, you know, possibly a town could encourage people to do this without having a financial incentive, which we simply can't do?
Yeah, for homeowners, it's still a challenge because it's a one-by-one-by-one huge investment for a small return. However, the Chapel Hill reference is a good one because I believe that for a few years, they actually manipulated the process of applying for building permits or development zoning changes to force the builder or the developer to meet with or at least become very aware and have a dialogue for having not only just runoff considerations and green space conversion, but also the potential for both retail and homeowner. So the point is that they forced them through the dialogue and they became aware and they did a hard sale. But individually, it's a tough sale individually, I believe.
One of the things, this is one of the ones that we looked at last meeting, the Chapel Hill. One of the things interesting about Chapel Hill, well, I think there's two incentives at Chapel Hill. One is that the state law in no way prohibits a homeowners association from having regulations. So homeowners association can do whatever they want. What Chapel Hill was trying to do was stop that ability, you know, through local ordinance.
Yeah.
The other thing that, if I remember right, and I'm not sure if it was Chapel Hill, but I believe they actually have a very complicated system where you can actually identify and measure the sun that goes into a particular thing, and they can actually restrict the growing of trees on neighbors' properties and all that sort of thing as a requirement. So if I remember right, looking at it, it was very complicated mathematical sort of things in terms of, you know, where the sun is shining, where the shadows are going on at 5 o'clock and 3 o'clock and things like that. I'm not sure if you're, you know, you were familiar with that.
California, naturally being California,
yeah.
You can have your neighbor's tree taken down.
Right. They have a right to some, you know, requirements that have actually been supported in court, Justin, right?
Can I ask a question, Mr. Chairman? I'm sorry I had to step out, so I may have missed this, but were there any other regulations prohibiting buildings being built such as yours that maybe someone would build a house next to it, block out all the sun?
That's a good thing about Curio Beach with the height restrictions. I don't have to worry about a skyscraper going in.
So even like a 35-foot duplex next to maybe a single.
No, because I'm just following the arc of the sun. The panel faces south. Face out the sun at about 8:30 in the morning till about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, it just arcs right across.
So I think that's something we were wondering if we should research or consider.
Yes, if you have a two-story house versus next to a one-story, probably would be a consideration.
What did they decide to do, John? Well, I mean, I think the best way to promote, for the town to promote something without money out of pocket is if we lead by example. We were supposed to have solar and other components of building projects. Now, I know they're doing underground water harvesting. Are they planning on doing solar? I don't know if that ever got passed or not.
I requested it over and over again, but the architect did not design it in either one of the buildings.
We all tried to, the committee pushed for it too, because that was supposed to be part of the education of that farm.
But the
and educate the community on solar and water.
You would have to get the mayor to talk to the architect on that one, because he just totally refused to put it in the design.
I don't understand refusing to put it in the design. Why was it approved then, if it was requested by the committee and council?
You'll have to talk to the mayor about that.
Okay. Well, that's... And sir, what's your name for the record?
Oh, sorry. Garrett Stickley. I have some homes here in Beechwalk and Chatham's, and then up in Carolina Beach.
All right.
One point. Could I have each of you stop by and give me the spelling of your names before you leave? Thank you.
Well, excellent. You know, again, as I said, originally I thought I'd be bringing in a review draft, but when I, you know, saw that people were interested in coming to speak tonight, I thought it'd be better to have kind of an open session discussion rather than doing that. So, is there any further discussion on alternative energy issues? All right, very good. Well, thank you very, very much. Move to agenda item number 5B on old business. This is the potential B1 expansion in K Avenue. I think that, you know, we were talking about design, a plan, a procedure. What we're talking about really is maybe thinking about the summary of what our joint session was all about. And here, if there's, you know, any further comments on this and as to what would be our next steps in terms of doing this, and just maybe get the general feedback from the people that were there as to what your general impressions were about that, that particular session. So, you know, before we kind of talk among ourselves, I do know that you're here to talk about this. Do you want to?
Actually, I've read about it, but I've been traveling, and so I just try to catch this meeting to start coming up to speed and understand what the outlook is and what the motivation is. But if I can get that from a past documentation, then don't...
There are the prior minutes that we were just talking about that we just approved that looked to be fairly detailed in terms of what went on during that session. So that's a public record, so you can certainly read that.
That's good.
What I would suggest is maybe we just kind of go down the committee here and, you know, maybe give their just general impressions as to what the next step would be or what impressions came out of that meeting as well as what we should do next. So, anybody like to start?
Well, one of the things I felt was actually a little disappointing is that I think that the audience was much more interested in talking about how we didn't need any more businesses in Curio Beach, that there was no demand for any businesses, and to even talk about putting any businesses in there was pretty much folly. And I think that they tended to miss the point that we weren't trying to
develop businesses, promote businesses, look for a specific business. What we're trying to do is to establish some zoning regulations and either ease of making it available for people to put a business in if they wanted to, instead of trying to actually look for a particular business. It wasn't our job to do that. It kind of got stuck on that, and stuck on the cross issue of, if there are any businesses in there, there won't be any place for them to park. We need to deal with parking first. So we kind of a conglomeration of conversations in there. I think we need to educate, I don't know if educate is the right word, but we need to inform the public as we go through this process that we're not talking about parking, we're not talking about any particular kind of business. What we're talking about is staying ahead of the curve, that when the request perhaps some point in time comes into John that someone wants to put XYZ business on K Avenue on the west side of Fort Fisher, that in fact we've got the kinds of regulations and guidelines that John can then use that are in accordance with the land use plan that's been out there now for 4 or 5 years. And I think that point was missed at the meeting.
Well, I agree to an extent. I think at the beginning, I mean, there was also a conspiracy theory that we're trying to put more center row parking in.
And sidewalks.
Sidewalks and all that. Trying to side convoluted. But I think towards the end, when they realized that when we talk about mixed use, we talk about businesses, you know, there was one person that said he owns property there, he doesn't want a business next door. But the reality is, the RA2 allows businesses there. And I think once they realize that and look at the ordinances and say, well, I guess somebody could put a beauty shop next to my house or a lot I want to build on, I think they see it a different way. And I think towards the end of the meeting, they were kind of picking up on that. To me, as far as the next step, I mean, I think we still need to do a lot of public meetings. I mean, and I think it's going to be hard to keep them focused. I'm just what we're trying to do. But I think before we get, you know, before we start inviting more people to public meetings, we really have to figure out how a mixed use project can even work. And that's kind of why I did that little sketch. You know, it's a 100-foot deep lot, deep enough to do mixed use. And have the parking for the residences and make it work. Because if it's not, then that's, if it doesn't work, then that's what's been north and south of it. Which would take in more residents, which would take in more people who probably need it to be invited.
Okay. It might be that before we have another work session or another hearing or something, we need to let people know exactly what we're suggesting or looking at doing, so they can have a clearer picture of what the board is looking at doing versus and then be misguided or confused on what, you know, what's trying to happen.
You know, that was just kind of to reiterate, I agree with what's been said. I started with that meeting thinking that, nah, this is not something that we want to be doing. And I walked away at the end thinking that this actually, I think, would be a very good idea to go in with an additional zoning map for that, that would be very, very light use, but directed towards mixed use sort of thing. That you know, which would allow people, if they wanted to, certainly not required, but if somebody wanted to put a very light use, you know, hobby type of business, a gift shop, you know, something like that, an art gallery on the bottom floor, and have a residential unit on the second and third floor. But that's something that actually we should encourage. It is in our land use plan and so forth. And particularly as we went through the discussion and found that, in fact, under the RA2, that people could put a business, but it doesn't have to be mixed use. I mean, somebody could knock down and put a museum there. Somebody could knock down and put a school, you know, currently. And so I was thinking that not only is it a way of actually technically protecting the residential characteristic of K Avenue, by doing something like this, but actually would be then to encourage possibly mixed-use capabilities for people that want to do it. Not necessarily you know, go out and try to find businesses, but if somebody wants to do something to, you know, see it migrate down in that particular direction. So I kind of walked away very positive at the end of the meeting, and I think probably most of the people that were here felt that it wasn't a conspiracy by the end of the meeting, and we were actually trying to, you know, find out something. I would absolutely agree that in order to have another meeting, which, you know, I would strongly encourage, I think we need pictures about what we're talking about. I think we need some examples about, you know, this is what a mixed use would look like on the bottom floor, top floor, you know, then, you know, maybe this type of design, what has been recommended by some of the studies that have been done, and actually throw up some pictures and look and see what other communities have done in terms of mixed use like this in Charleston and so forth. You know, I think that would be, if we're going to do this and have another session, I think we have to have pictures to show people what we're talking about, that we're just trying to chat about.
Or examples of what could be there.
Right. Or what could be there, and what it would look like as a possibility. So, your first meeting, so yeah.
It's a very small and vocal group, of course, and I definitely think through the course of the meeting, it did change from going to do this to this is what we're just discussing at this time with no plans. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just communication. We get it out there, we so they understand that we're not doing anything.
You were there, weren't you? No, you weren't there.
That was out of camp.
That's right. What is your take as to, I'm sure you've had some discussions about the joint meeting with the mayor and some of the other folks that were there. There's been a kind of change of makeup of the council, but what's the general feeling from the council, do you think, about pushing forward?
I think there have been so many other things going on right now that the mayor has not really discussed this with anybody. Our new members just came on last night. So, you know, I've talked to Jim Dugan about it, but he's no longer on the town council. You know, he was telling me about the meeting, and John was telling me about the meeting. But frankly, I think with the election and the swearing in and the other things going on, that nobody on the council has really been discussing this among themselves. I guess one of my concerns, and I know, you know, you don't like to deal with the parking issue and all, but we have another committee, the SLAP committee, that is dealing with parking. And they are talking about putting sidewalks down there. And you guys are talking about what the setbacks would be for any buildings that would be built there. And I guess I'm concerned about one committee's trying to do these sidewalks that are 10 to 15 feet off the street. Is that going to impact the size of the lots that are available and where your setbacks would be? And if their main focus is that one day we will have parking all the way down K Avenue in the middle of the street, just like we have downtown, and that's why they want the sidewalks off to the side, I think the committees need to be talking to each other a lot more, because I would hate for one of you to be doing this over here and another one this over here, and the two don't work together.
Do you think it'd be a good idea before we do anything else? You know, I've been, as you know, a big fan of coming to the town council and explaining where we're at and getting some guidance on this. Do you think that would be appropriate for the next council meeting for me to come and kind of do a quick summary, just like what we've done here, and say, all right, well, this is the general feeling of the commission, and you know, the sense I have, at least correctly, is I think the commission might feel that there's a need to kind of continue the discussion. But before we do that, you know, get a little more guidance from the council as to whether this is a productive direction to go through. Do you think that'd be appropriate to?
I think it would be very appropriate. I don't think you would get some immediate guidance that evening, but what you would do is plant it into their heads, because at the end of January, we'll be having our first budget retreat for the coming year. We'll have several of those over the next few months, but one of the things we'll be doing is, you know, finding out from each one of the committees what they're interested in and what they need. And this certainly needs to be up for discussion. I mean, if the council is very interested in this being one of your goals for the coming year, that would be a good time to bring it up. And maybe this is also a good time to bring up the land use plan, because I knew it was mentioned a couple of meetings.
Well, it's actually directed by the land use plan. It's actually in the land use plan that we look at this.
But it's also up for renewal, up for approval again. And that's a very long process. And if that's something, if that's a goal you want to work on this coming year and incorporate this in there, you know, are we going to have to hire somebody like Sawyer again to help us put this together? What kind of expenses do you need this coming year to do all of that? And so, you know, especially as these budget sessions go on, I hope you guys will come before them and talk about what your plans are, see if they agree with it, and what it's going to cost to do that.
When is the council meeting? It's 2 weeks from tonight.
No, sir. Next scheduled council meeting is January 17th, I believe.
Oh, January 17th? Yeah. So we did not have December 1st?
No, they
We had it last
they
night.
They had it last night.
That's true, yeah, because I got the I did get the email today, and I read the issues.
The sidewalk issue, I understand what you're saying about sidewalks, and I do agree the committee should work with each other, but the sidewalks go on town property. They really have nothing to do with the size of any lot.
Right, but there is a difference as to whether or not we put it on the edge of the road or we move it back 10 to 15 feet. And why are we moving it back? And if it's because we're going to have parking down the middle of K Avenue, does that mean that the businesses coming in there won't be required to have as much parking as we think they may have to have?
That clearly, the issue of the sidewalk was probably the most heated concern at the meeting. Wasn't even relevant to this, but
what I certainly heard
was that the initial conspiracy of the sidewalk, you know, and was this somehow attached to this 10-foot setback sidewalk. So I think we dealt with that as the commission by the end of our joint session, but, you know, certainly that was there. I don't know what the...
Yeah. I'd just like for you guys to stay in touch with the committees, stay in touch with each other. So that
might I suggest, and if it's okay with the commission, to request that that we be put on the next town council agenda to talk about this. But I guess we will have a meeting prior to that. Mm-hmm. So people can bring in some ideas. They find something on the internet about some ideas of what a mixed use would look like, or something like that. Maybe think about that.
Well, you know, I like your idea of somehow or another the community needs to see what it would look like. And it's almost like we need to have more renderings of some sort. And I didn't know if there'd be any value to look at other small towns. Mm-hmm. Nearby, I'm not talking about, you know, going to New Jersey or to Florida. But is there anything, are there small towns similar enough to us who are oceanfront within a, you know, 25, 30 miles in either direction that we could visit and just kind of look at them and just simply say, okay, well, here's their business district and this is what they have and this is how they're dealing with parking, with setbacks, with what kind of businesses do they have? Are they using form-based zoning? You know, what is going on in these communities so that maybe it will... You know, enliven our vision in terms of, wow, if people could see what this looks like, they would have a better sense of what we may be able to accomplish in downtown, you know, Perry Beach.
Might I suggest for our next meeting then is that we all, you know, go out and do a little bit of homework. I don't think we have to visit anybody right now because, I mean, until we get kind of the go-ahead from the council, I'd hate to go out and visit different towns, but certainly I think we can maybe do some internet searches to see what's out there, and maybe for our next meeting come in with some, if there's anything on the internet or anything like that, or if you want to call, you know, if you find that there is a town, beach town that has a mixed use type of business district.
I would like to suggest Beaufort as a good example to look at.
Beaufort's got one. I know Charleston has two, but you know, Beaufort would be a good one. And then just maybe, do a little bit of homework before our next next meeting so that we can come in and maybe have some pictures in front of us. And that would be good then for bringing to the council, you know, to actually show the sort of things that we're talking about too. So, you know, if we want to get on the town council agenda for the meeting in January and then, you know, maybe do a little bit of homework to, you know, enlighten our discussions during our next meeting in January, I think that would be probably the most appropriate thing for right now.
And I think still one of the things that I think that gets lost in our joint session, as well as what we're saying tonight to some extent, is that, you know, we had a handful of people, 6 to 8 at the most, that were dissenting on what we were even beginning to talk about. Why are we even thinking about doing this? Well, I don't think they understand, maybe they don't understand what the study and the survey reflected of the 1,782 people that were surveyed. 80% of the respondents all wanted more of everything downtown. They wanted the downtown cleaned up, the access is cleaned up, the signage changed, more businesses, more attractive businesses, more options, more attractions. And it's kind of like those six people were saying, but we don't want it, so just stop what you're doing. But what are we responding to? The entire community or a handful of people? And that was my concern with having so few people. We really didn't have any proponents out there. We just had people who didn't want to see anything happen. Keep it exactly the way it is. We don't want to change anything. Let's just hunker down and keep things exactly as they are instead of looking to how we might better the community somehow or another. I think that vision is blocked out of their mind. They don't want to take that next step.
In that same token, in that same thought, you got at least three different zoning districts that's affecting that area. And each one of those people could be coming from a different area.
Sure.
So, you know, I would think we would need to have some over plan of to what that zoning would be through there. If it's going to be, for instance, a B1, parking's not an issue because we already relaxed the problem for parking in B1. You don't have to meet your parking requirements. If it's going to be another type of zone, and then we will have parking issues to address.
You got that mixed use in particular because
if it's going to be an urban AMB zones as they are, then that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that we've really got to look at it with the, you know, the different.
Most mixed use that I'm pretty familiar with, you know, which is a combination of residential and retail / commercial, clearly relax the parking requirement. You can't have the normal, typical parking requirement for mixed-use environment. It just won't work from a storefrontage type of thing. So there's almost always some sort of relaxing of parking requirements.
And then we've got to be careful in that then, because other areas might want to apply to them too. So, you know,
and that flips over to a certain extent, in my opinion, that if you're not going to have parking within a block or two or three of the business district, then sidewalks become a bigger issue. Because do you then want people walking in the middle of the streets to get from distant parking spaces in order to get into the business area?
There's some I's and T's that's got to be taken care of.
There's all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think these are all good things, and I think that we should think about it, maybe identify some communities that might be appropriate models. We can come in with some pictures that you know, artistic renderings like what we have tonight.
Oh yeah. John, do you still have the pay view?
Sure, I do somewhere, yes.
Because they were awesome rendering.
I was thinking about that. I'm going to try to see if I can't find that and bring it to the next meeting.
You know, that would be a good one.
When they proposed that to the town, everybody in the room was excited about it. And, you know, everybody couldn't wait for that to happen.
That's great.
Well, some other I was thinking about, Mayfair's got some of what we're talking about up there also.
Because that pay view, we could pretty much just take it and maybe turn it to KM. And kind of have a good visual for that.
Well, what you've drawn here is kind of similar, really.
That was my memory.
Yeah.
If you could find that, if it's possible, you can find it in the next meeting, that'd be great.
Yeah. I'm digging for it.
I've got the archives too.
I got it somewhere.
Okay.
John, do you get anybody at this point in time, even talking to you at all about small business in the community?
I had the only phone call I've gotten on any kind of business or large development is up there at the Curie Village Way, where that big piece of land is sitting there, where we had the PUD that was going to go in.
You want Fishtail something?
Yes.
That was the B4 property, right? Was it?
Yes, sir. And what they were calling to talk about was possibly putting in a large condominium with 20 or so condos.
Is that recently?
I had two calls in the last month from the same guy.
Yeah, I honestly think if we're talking about up and down there, I think more of that we're talking about would be very light, sort of almost hobby type of businesses that would still create a lot of ambiance, but I don't think it's going to be somebody who is up in New Jersey thinking that, well, they want to start a big business down here in Curie Beach.
No, it wasn't none of that.
It's going to be people that are kind of here, maybe even some of the property owners right there that might see, you know, something to enhance.
I haven't had any of those. That's the only thing that I've had that's even close to that.
And, you know, trying to create an environment where, you know, they could do something like that that would enhance, you know, enhancing a community. So unless there's any further, you know, discussion, that's what we'll do. We'll put this on the agenda. Continue this item on our agenda, and then, you know, get on the council's agenda.
Do you want to put that form of a motion?
Something.
We'll put in a motion next week then to get on council.
Yeah, do you need the? How much time do you need to get on council?
That's the fifth we need.
Any time.
Yeah, probably a few days.
There's actually a section during the meeting where you could get up and talk anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's probably good to move formally on the agenda. Yeah. At least for this item, it's controversial enough. But anyway, so the only motion would be to continue our item until our next meeting. I don't think we need any other.
So moved.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Agenda item number six is new business. Is there any new business that we have? Hearing none, we'll go to agenda item number seven, which is member items. All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All right, there's been a motion to adjourn. I'll second that one so I can get my second and none name on there. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, very good.
There you go, sign.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, take care.
I think it's very possible they want to do. I mean, we're talking. Depending on what they want to do, though, it's going to probably spend $50,000 right away.
I think even you are
ahead
of the game.
Hey, John?
Yes, sir.
We had some correspondence between us, and I didn't know whether it was something we were going to do a follow up on that or what. I know you were
really on the great question on major events.
The beach weddings and all. I'm actually pulling in ordinances from other surrounding beach communities. Specifically, I'm looking in the Outer Banks, Hatteras area, Manio. I know that's a hot spot over there. So I'm trying to put that together. I'm going to
we're in that catch-22 situation.
Try to find the best fit, I think. Probably change a few things around, meet with the town attorney. I've got three real estate companies that I'm going to meet with and say, this is where it could go. What do y'all think? Do you have any opinions, ideas? And obviously, you've stepped forward and said you wanted to look at it, and so did Jim Ring, just down from him. He'd like to look into it, too. So that's kind of where it's at right now. It's actually supposed to be on the council's agenda for next month, so I will be working on that here in the next couple of weeks.
I think Jim Kitt is the one you're working with. You know, Jim's got most of the houses that I know that are problem.
All of the problem houses I know.
Is that right?
The only reason I'm going to free is just so I don't want to fuck him the same one amount.
You got to pick on the guy that's 6'5", 250, right?
You know, Jim and I didn't get along very well for a little while. And one day I went in there and I sat down and I explained to him why I was